Our world can be a scary place, filled with beauty, yes, filled with everyday miracles, yes. But these past few weeks, normalcy was turned upside down. We each heard the horrific news that on July 22nd, at least 80 people were killed in Norway by a young political extremist. And as we know, the majority of his victims were teenagers, kids enjoying their summer on a remote island, learning how to become leaders. My heart continues to race as I hear the testimonials of the survivors, mere children who decided to swim into the water in order to escape their attacker. The shock and horror on the faces of the Norwegian people, asking and screaming out, "Why me? Why our children? God, how could you let us experience such horror?" And then turn the clock back a few more days to the gut-wrenching ordeal of little Leiby Kletsky, an 8-year-old religious boy in Brooklyn who begged his parents for the privilege of walking home from day camp. And he knew the route. His parents practiced every step with him. This was a normal activity for a normal little boy. And like kids do, he took a wrong turn. And Leiby asked a man for directions, and so many of us know the outcome. The man Leiby decided to ask for directions proceeded to kidnap him and murder the little boy. This religious community in Brooklyn is asking the same questions that are being asked in Norway. Why me? Why our children? God, how could this horrendous ordeal happen to us? I don't have any answers this morning. I am not going to pretend to understand why madness lurks around the corner, why people choose to murder and kill innocent children, and why our safety is compromised every day. We all stare at the newspapers and the television sets and our computer screens, and we ask those same questions. God, how are we supposed to live every day knowing that turmoil might upset our perfect worlds? God, how do we keep one foot in front of the other when we are so uncertain of what tomorrow might bring? I do not believe that any of us have the answers to these age-old mysteries. But what I can do is look back at our history and surmise the reasons why our people ask these questions and yet choose to keep going. Choose to grapple with the madness, but grasp onto life. In just 10 days or so, we will be commemorating what is known as the saddest day of our people, Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av marks the destructions of the first and second temples in Jerusalem. It marks the day of the expulsion of the Jews in Spain. It also marks the beginning of World War I. Every year on Tisha B'Av, we read from the Book of Lamentations, an outpouring of the cries of our people as they watch their beloved Jerusalem burn to the ground. I'm going to ask you for a moment to listen to the woes of our people. Listen to the words of Lamentations. Listen to the words of the prophet who reflects on the horrors that befell his beautiful Jerusalem, his people, his home. I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely he has turned against me. He turns his hand against me all day long. He has made my flesh and skin waste away. He has broken my bones. He has built against me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He has set me in dark places, like the long ago dead. He has walled me around so that I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy. Also, when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayer. What do we hear in Lamentations? We hear the same sentiments. Why me? Why our children? God, how could you let this happen to us? And yet I ask you to look around you. Somehow this author, his children, the generations that came after, the people who are sitting in this room and praying as a community, somehow we have survived asking these questions, but not letting these questions remove us from the realm of life. As we watch madness consume this world, I imagine that each and every one of us has a choice. We can choose to let these questions harden our hearts. We can choose to let these questions paralyze our senses and remain emotionally immobile. Or we can choose to let these questions direct us, push us towards movement, towards engagement, and allowing God to be our rock. What's fascinating is that when God watches the same scene, watches his children dying in Jerusalem, watching the destruction of the temples, we learn in the Midrash on Lamentations that God asks these same questions. We're told the following story. One day God came and organized the community of ministering angels, and he asked the angels, when a king chooses to mourn, how does he do it? The angels replied, well, the king hangs a sackcloth on his door. God said, then I will do that too. God continued speaking to the angels and said, how else does a king mourn the loss of his people, the loss of his children? And the angels replied, well, a king goes barefoot and walks without shoes. A king tears his clothing and shows that he's a mourner. And God said, then I will do the same. God continues and asks the angels, what else does a king do to mourn? And the angels reply, well, the king sits in silence. God said, then I will do the same. Yet, I believe that the Midrash, the story that I just shared, is not finished. Because the angels should have reminded God that every mourner rises out of their mourning. Every mourner is asked to walk around the block at the end of Shiva in order to signify a return into the bonds of life. If we were completing the story, God would have said, a king rises from his mourning, and someday I will do the same. How do we grapple with madness in this world? How do the people of Norway summon the courage to face life when chaos hits them in the face? How do Leiby Kletsky's parents lift their feet after they have been pummeled and beaten? The answers may never come. And yet I do believe that we have a choice in how we face our questions. We can choose to follow in the steps of our people. We can choose to follow in the steps of the people of Norway and Leivi Kletski's parents. We can choose to take our doubts and rise from the ashes. We can choose to take our fear and walk with our people. We can choose to grapple with the madness, but we can choose to grasp onto life. Dear God, may our questions push us forward. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.